Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for part three of my three-part interview with retired Assistant Chief Linda Green. She's a retired firefighter out in California who is suffering from PTSD, and she wrote a book called Solving the Post-Traumatic Stress Brain Injury Puzzle, A First Responder's GPS. This book is a must-read. If you or someone you know and love or care about has PTSD, you need to get this book. She's been explaining all about PTSD. She's been explaining about the things that triggered her, and she wasn't diagnosed with it at first. And that's where we're going to take up the conversation today. She was undergoing therapy, and they're like, yeah, it's just stress. But she started having all these triggering events, and that's what got them looking. And she was sent back to her therapist, and that's where she was finally diagnosed with PTSD, which opened up all the therapy and exact. Now, here we go, right back into the interview with Linda Green.
To this day, I'm so fortunate and grateful that I had already a working relationship with the psychologist who understood first responders, because she had, most of her career, I've been working with law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And it's like so fortunate that I already had that relationship with her where I could walk in and say, hey, here's what's going on. And she could say, okay, you have PTS. You're going to be in my office every week from now on. And so, okay.
Yeah, amen. You know, I know one officer was involved in a shooting, and he quit three, you know, because as soon as you're involved in a shooting, there's, you know, okay, you're now on paid leave while we mm-hmm. investigate it and all that. And he didn't even wait for the investigation to get done. He quit 3 days later. You know, some officers, you know, ridiculed him for being weak, you know, and all that. Some tried to reach out to him, but, you know, he then rebuffed the efforts, and he was later diagnosed with PTSD, so we do know that. But mm-hmm. is there now a better acceptance of a person that has the type of reactions like you were talking about and that I was giving an example of among peers and personally as, you know, for the individual? Because I know there was, you know, back 20 years ago, it was, like you said, it was a stigma, like, oh, you know, that's a war thing. You know, you weren't, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
How is it today? Is there a better acceptance of, you know, hey, you know, we know what you got and we'll help you get through it?
Yes and no. There is a growing awareness at the highest levels of police and fire organizations that it does impact their members. With that said, there are some states that do not recognize post-traumatic stress as an occupational injury. So there's no recourse for people to file a workers' compensation claim, right? Mm. And depending on the department they work for, that stigma still exists. It's you're weak and you're not welcome to be here. Doesn't matter how messed up you are. It's like if you spend any time in Facebook at all, there's so many different PTS support groups on Facebook, and you spend time in there, whether they're fire or police or more focused on EMS people. It is amazing to me just how much or how little support that there is depending on where you work. Mm-hmm. And even if you're suicidal, I think I remember reading a comment just last year, somebody was very concerned about a coworker and had gone to the higher ups in his department, and in a state that doesn't recognize PTS as an occupational injury. And the response is basically, it's not our problem unless he commits suicide on the property mm-hmm. of the station. It's like, wow. It's yeah. like, and the fact that people like that are running departments, and mm-hmm. and you see what the suicide numbers are in law enforcement,
yep.
and what's going on in the fire service, what's going on in EMS, and the reported suicides to different organizations are keeping track of that and to publicize the effect of the stress of the job. To an organization, they know it's being underreported, right? Because you know, if you have life insurance, some life insurance policies won't pay for a suicide.
Yeah, that's right. That's
so, right. Yeah. So even if they get recognized as, yeah, this was actually a suicide, they don't report it publicly a lot of times who that person was, mm-hmm. so that the family doesn't suffer.
Yeah.
Not only the personal loss, but then an economic loss on top of that. So yeah.
I know our department, if an officer commits suicide, his pension benefits don't get passed to the beneficiaries. It has to be a line of duty death type thing. I know what you're talking about. You know, though, if it's something along that lines, a lot of times they'll just say, you know, this was caused by something that he experienced, and therefore we're classifying his line of duty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. We're going to take another break right now to talk about your book, and then we'll come back in a minute. Okay. So just hold on. Folks, we'll be right back after this message.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. This post-traumatic stress disorder is a very serious condition that has become more widely recognized in the medical community over the last 10 years or so. And Linda Green's book, Solving the Post-Traumatic Stress Brain Injury Puzzle, A First Responder's GPS, is a must-read and a must-have if you or someone you care about has PTSD. After 30-plus years on the front line as a first responder, Linda worked her way up to assistant chief of a major fire protection agency in California, and she fell under the tenacious claws of PTSD. This book details some of the steps she took to regain control of her life, and she knows it will help you as well. So go down to the show notes to order your copy of Linda Green's book, Solving the Post-Traumatic Stress Brain Injury Puzzle, A First Responder's GPS. Do so today.
And we're back with Linda Green. She's been telling us about PTSD and her life and the department and some of the treatments and symptoms and things like that they're going on with it. But Linda, when, you know, in your book, you talk about intention. What do you mean by that word intention? Tell us that.
Intention is being purposeful in pursuing your recovery.
Okay.
You know, I took an attitude early on that basically it didn't matter what I had to do to get better. I was going to do it. Nothing is off the table. And to this day, there's still nothing off the table. If I had to go to the point of finding a doctor that did treatment with MDMA, ecstasy, then I would have gone that route. But, you know, I was fortunate for the most part. I got help with basic talk therapy. EMDR helped me. A lot of these things where I started journaling, and that's actually what a lot of the book is, are my journal entries from that year where I was really, really struggling. And that intention is about trying to be very purposeful every day on what you're doing with your recovery, because recovery is a lifestyle. It's not just something you do for 6 months and then you go back to your old way of living, because a lot of times your old way of living probably contributed to your PTS in some small manner. But it's like every day I got up and it's like, oh, I have to go to therapy today. All right. It's going to suck, but I'm going to go. But that's the attitude. It's like every day, what am I doing today that'll help me get better?
Yeah.
Even if it's just 5 minutes during that day, you're doing something that supports your recovery. You're setting the attention. I want to get better, and I will do what I need to do to get better. It's that simple.
Is it possible for someone to be cured of PTSD? Is it something they just have to learn to live with the rest of their life and just cope with it?
Some people do get cured and are able to continue in their job. I know a lot of people like that, that have gone back to police work. They're back in the fire service. They're back doing their thing as a paramedic. And it is possible. you may still have like a scar or two, just like, you know, you have knee surgery for a torn meniscus, you can still do your job, but your knee is going to be less than 100%. Well, you can still do your job with PTSD. You just need to be aware of the factors that could influence that to regress. And I also know some people go back to work and it's too much and they eventually have to retire.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are very capable of working even while they're going through their treatment program. And it depends on what your job is, right? So, you know, it's like there are people, and I want to throw this out here, that, you know, it's not just military or police and fire that can get it. You know, people who have been in car accidents can get PTSD. People who are victims of sexual assault, domestic violence, certainly can get PTS. But are they able to function at least at some level so that they can work in society? Absolutely. And it's not like you're stuck with the absolute worst symptoms for the rest of your life. Are there some people like that? Yes, there are. They're just so horribly scarred.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you keep doing what you need to do and adopt a healthier lifestyle, the biggest challenge I see with some people, and I see it in these different Facebook groups, is like, I'll do anything except talk to a therapist.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
It's like, okay, you're taking one of your keys off.
It's yeah.
like, why would you not want to talk to a therapist? It doesn't mean you're crazy. You're not crazy because you have PTSD.
Right. Amen. Yeah. You're certified as a high performance coach. Exactly. What does that mean? And how does that help you to help those with PTSD?
Well, the high performance coaching helps people elevate their levels of energy, courage, influence, productivity. And the reason I became a certified high performance coach, prior to my diagnosis with PTS, I was going into the final year of my career. I didn't know what I was going to do afterwards. And, you know, I knew I was kind of stuck in a rut, right? So I said, here's a concept. I'm going to hire a life coach and help figure out what I'm going to do moving forward. And I knew nothing about high performance coaching at the time. it just turned out that's the program I found somebody to work with. And as I was going through the worst of my PTS and coming back out of it, I really started thinking about what I learned in those 12 sessions that I'd been involved with. And I realized that some of those tools and techniques I had learned while I was going through that coaching program actually masked some of my symptoms, because I had learned how to function at a higher level because I was using the tools I had learned. And then I just had this thought, well, what was in that program that helped me accelerate my recovery, not only forestall it a little bit, but recover faster as I started to reapplying those same techniques. And in 2017, fortunately, I had some income that showed up, and I was able to go to the coaching certification, because I really want what's in this coaching that I can pull out and help other people with PTS. And so it's like, it's its own standalone program. I can take people through high performance coaching if whether they're injured or not, but I've helped some other people with PTS and kind of morphed it a little bit.
Amen.
Because some questions don't, you know, they can be overwhelming sometimes. Well, I just ask you to rate this on a scale of 1 to 5. How do you think about it? And people get it then. But, you know, it's just using some of that information to help people who may not have access. And that's why in section 6 in the book, there's a whole bunch of journaling exercises. And some of that's based on my own journey with my PTS and with alcohol recovery. Some of it is based on concepts I learned through the coaching program, but it's at least to give somebody a start.
What kind of journal would they be keeping, and how does that help them keep track of their progress?
Well, what helped for me while I was journaling it's like sometimes I would just be super angry. I would journal instead of taking out my family. Things happen, and by the time you go see your doctor, you may not remember that you only had 2 hours of sleep any given night because you're having nightmares. And that's one of the things for me, I didn't mention I was having nightmares early on. And that probably delayed my diagnosis and getting the appropriate treatment for what I needed to deal with. So you can journal and keep track of your symptoms. You can journal to let loose of that anger and rage in a way that's not going to damage your family. You can journal for gratitude. When I started journaling, I was just keeping a gratitude journal. And because that's what I would do right before going to bed. Well, what am I grateful for today? Trying to set myself up for a good night's sleep. You know, so I talk about journaling a lot because it is a good way of capturing how you're feeling in the moment. And sometimes you can go back a few days and look at what you wrote. It'll make more sense. Right. It helps
help you identify shift. Triggers and stuff.
Too. Yeah, absolutely. Because you never know what a trigger is. I was in a Tai Chi class and I couldn't settle into my normal flow. And a few weeks went by and I was back in class. And again, I couldn't get into my normal flow. And so why these two sessions? And I was able to identify that some of the background music included, it was like the Southwest type music. And every now and then there'd be this harsh wind sound. And so, oh, we had 50-mile-an-hour winds on that fire. Mm-hmm. And the sound of the wind was my first identified trigger. But I happened to write it down in a journal. And so I think that's what it is.
Amen. Amen. Now, resilience is also another big term today. You know, the ability to bounce back from something. Is it possible to apply that term to PTSD patients?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because resiliency is basically a lifestyle that you can build that will help support you to live a good life, regardless of if what's going on is a fire or a car accident or COVID-19, which is definitely a stressful situation depending where you're at. Having a resilient lifestyle, which is having people you can talk with, you know, everybody has two or three good close friends, and that's really important. Having somebody you can talk with, having an exercise program. Are you eating healthy food or are you eating junk food, which isn't really food, right?
Right.
Are you doing?
Oh man, all them years as a cop.
Oh yeah, no, it's like donuts, ice cream, right? So, but you know, having some sort of spiritual practice, even if that for you is just going for a hike once a week or going for a run.
Yeah.
So all those things add up to having a lifestyle that supports you so that when something does happen and nobody gets through life without having some crisis in their life, you know, somebody dies or, you know, job loss or whatever, but having the ability to bounce back is what resiliency is all about. And people who have built a resilient lifestyle do that quite well. And it's having that future orientation instead of being worried about the past. Is what can I do today that will support something for me tomorrow, right? So whether it's being in service, being a volunteer, because when you're serving others, you're not thinking about yourself, you're serving others. And I think that's the greatest opportunity right there for people to add to their lifestyle is go volunteer someplace.
Amen. Let's talk about family support as we get ready to wind down. How important is the family and friends in helping the person who has PTSD work through their counseling and things like that?
Well, that's important. It is. I was fortunate. My sister did social work at the time. Our brother, he's a journalist, but he had helped take care of our mother when her last years. My husband too, they were very supportive and they stayed with me. having a couple friends is important. We still kept going. Every Sunday we go to brunch with friends that I know from the job. And even though I didn't want to go, it's like that. If I didn't leave the house all week long, I would go to that to maintain that routine, just to be part of their life. And they never push back on that. And so I'm very grateful. So yeah, if you have one or two family members, one or two friends that can support you, and if everybody else, you know, basically disappears, then that's okay. Having those two or three or four people, when you're going through the worst of it, that's important.
Yeah. Does your coaching program help the family or significant others learn to assist the person with PTSD?
You know, I haven't built that part of it yet. Okay. But it is important, and it's important too for spouses to understand. They need to educate themselves on what PTSD is and how the symptoms can show up. And that's one reason why I threw all my journal notes into my book, so that somebody doesn't understand it, they can basically get inside my head to see how I was reacting, and maybe they can help recognize it in their own spouse or significant other. And but then they also need to be aware too, depending on how long their loved one is struggling with it, that impacts them as well, and they should seek out their own therapy to help cope with basically being around that for
an extended period. Okay, so there is like a training program that they can go through to help them prepare for what they're going to be facing?
Unfortunately, there's not really. Oh. You know, it's like depending on what you have going on, there are like nationwide organizations that you can go to. Say you have a family member with cerebral palsy. Well, there's a foundation that can help you find resources. There are some resources available for PTSD. Probably the best source of information that's widely available, if you go to the Veterans Administration website, they have excellent articles and resources available, not only for the people who are suffering from PTSD, but also for their family members that help understand what's going on. And there's even the VA also has a PTSD, they call it the PTSD Coach. It's an app you can download on your phone to help track symptoms and give you some in the moment coping tools. So,
amen. What is the training counseling scenario involving your training program? What can someone expect?
What somebody can expect is a one-on-one discussion once a week for an hour, and I'll work them through a process, talk about what they think about what's going on, what they think they can do, some options that they can explore. It's not me telling anybody, it's no, you got to do X, Y, and Z. It's like, well, let's talk about how you can work on this one little aspect and come up with some options that you can try. Because there's what works for me may not necessarily work for other people. I have resources that other people don't have. People have resources I don't have. So there, and that's the challenge of PTS. The symptoms show up differently for everybody. I think if you do the math, there's like 600,000 different combinations. Wow. And so finding a cure-all, one-size-fits-all treatment program, it's not realistic. Because even talk therapy works for some people, it doesn't work for others. EMDR works for some people, it doesn't work for others. Certain drugs work for some people, but not for others. So, and that's the frustrating part. There's a lot of trial and error early on when you're going through a rough spot. And I can't, even a doctor can't tell you that in 6 months you're going to be 100% better.
That's true.
And that's part of the frustration for people who are struggling with it. You know, if you have a broken leg, you know, in six to eight weeks, you're at least going to be jogging again. And there's no clear cut, you know,
right.
I'm going, you know, I can't quote any given study and say, hey, you know, in 6 to 8 months, you'll be fine. And that's just not true.
Amen. Amen. Linda, we're about out of time. I could talk to you for hours about this. Go in sync on it. I mean, golly, if someone wanted more information or wanted to ask you a question or to get in touch with you, how can they do that? How can someone get in touch with you?
Well, they can go to my website, www.encouragegreen.com. And at the top of the homepage, there's a contact tag. They can click on that and they can email me that way. Okay. And then I can get back to them.
Okay. And your book, it's available on Amazon and on your website. Is it in bookstores?
Barnes & Noble is carrying it as well. Okay. So if you don't like Amazon, you can check out Barnes & Noble. I know they picked it up early on. So,
okay, cool. Folks, you know somebody that can use this. You know someone that we've described today. You may have been counting on your fingers as Linda's been talking how many points we covered that identify someone you care about. And you know, whether it's prior military or first responders, you're probably thinking right now someone you know. You need to order Linda Green's book, Solving the Post-Traumatic Stress Brain Injury Puzzle, a First Responder's GPS. Go down in the show notes down below, click the link. It'll take you straight to the Amazon site, order her book. If you really care about the other person, order two. Get one for you and one for that person. That way you can understand what Linda's sharing with them, and then you can talk to the other person in terms that they're able to relate to. You know, if you are suffering from PTSD or think you're suffering from PTSD, get in touch with Linda. Get involved in her coaching program so that she can talk to you just like she's talking about, you know, once a week. Have somebody that you can talk to help you get through these troubles. This is such an important topic. I mean, the good thing is it's now more out in the open than ever before. I mean, before, like we discussed, it was always pushed in the closet or swept under the rug. It was considered to be a sign of weakness. Now it's being discussed openly, and there is no shame in it. It's an injury just like, you know, a broken leg or a gunshot wound. It's something that needs to be dealt with in a loving and caring way. Order Linda's book. Help to save someone's life today. Do it right now. Do it today while you're thinking about it, before you forget. Just go down the show notes, click the link, and get one or two copies of her book. Pass it out to someone. You know, you can give that to, you know, order three or four copies. Give one to your minister. Give one to your doctor. Somebody, they know people that are afflicted by this. I can guarantee it. Linda, thank you so much for coming on the program today and sharing and talking about this important topic.
Again, thank you for allowing me to show up, and hopefully your listeners will benefit from it and be able to help somebody that they know.
Yeah, amen, amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. Go down the show notes, click the link, get in touch with Linda, order the book, and you'll be glad that you did. And you may even save somebody's life. Praise God. Folks, that's all the time we have. For Linda Green and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network,
and propelling your business to new heights? Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.